Let's welcome those who are joining us today. All right. Hey, thank you for joining us. I have preached long series. This is not going to be one. Somebody acted like they were shocked when I said that. But I want to tell you, as a matter of fact, I remembered a series that I did. It was 21 sermons. And so let me just say, we may end this one today. It may be one more. If so, it'd be four. So you have a lot to rejoice about already. Amen. But the most important thing is not the length of a series. It's whether or not you catch it. And so catch it. Okay? Get your mitt up. Get ready. And it may not be from any exact word I say, but this is the beautiful thing about coming to the Word of God is that, you know what? He sets a table. And he will feed you out of himself. He's the holy bread. And he will touch you, he will minister to you, he'll feed you. And so be seeking the Lord while I speak, and you'll hear the Lord speak to you. And when you hear the Lord's word to your heart, to your situation, that becomes from logos to rhema. And that's a live word. And that live word will carry you a long ways. And so, but every time we come together for the word, it's an opportunity to experience him and to get information, insight, and also to be enriched by him, because his word enriches you. I started to bring I may do that in the future. I ain't gonna tell you that. Okay, I'll tell you. I started to bring some fruit up here because just start eating the fruit, because the fruit's good, but you know what? You got to take it in. If you don't take it in, it's not going to benefit your body. And even when you take it in, it's got to be chewed and it's got to be digested. And so it's one thing to hear the word. It's another thing to have understanding, because it's truth and understanding. And I want to tell you, the Lord wants to reveal to you today. He's the revealer, and he wants to reveal to you today. He wants you to know. You want to know? You ready for some word? Okay, well, this is a part of the series of Noah's Ways, and I've already done a couple sermons on this, and, I don't have time to go back. See, that's the hard part for me, because I just want to repeat, and I get accused of that anyway. So, but the thing is that if you'll go online and catch up, that'll be great. I don't want you to miss anything. I'm going to try to cover these same principles. And remember, a principle, this is on Know His Ways, and this is part three, how to do on that. Okay, so here we go. But knowing his ways is your privilege. And the Lord has let us know that there are mysteries out there. But you know what? You qualify to know the mysteries. He wants to reveal them to you. And so we get to know. Isn't that exciting? We get to know. And so part of that is seeking. Part of it's hearing. Part of it's applying. But I want to tell you, it's a journey. But a principle of God is the ways of God. And remember, Moses knew his ways. We want to know his ways. We want to know the way he operates. There are spiritual principles the way God operates that happen in the spiritual realm. Just like there are physical principles that operate. If you step off the roof of this building, what's going to happen? Well, there are some principles of gravity that's going to kick in. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying to you, there's principles in the spiritual realm. The way God operates. Let's get to know God. And let's get to know the way he operates. Because I want to tell you, and I've got to explain this to you. What he's done for others, he'll do for you. And so there are principles. But at the same time, I've got to say it like this. Because people make a mistake sometimes. They'll hear the testimony of somebody. And they'll say, because man thinks about methods. And they'll say, you know, I'm going to do exactly what he did, and I'll get what he got. Well, it's not the method, it's the principle. And so I want to just tell you a quick example. I had a couple All-American boys that I raised, Zach and Chris. And Zach was a full-timer. I don't know if you know what a full-timer is. Everybody ought to have one. Yeah. But I want to tell you, and Chris... he was a little more sensitive in his nature. I'll just give you an example. I had to whip Zach every day. Didn't like it, didn't want to, but he needed it every day, sometimes more than once. And with Chris, I could look at him and I could say, stop. And he'd say, Dad, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Dad, I won't do it no more. Okay, so wait. It was the same principles for both boys, but I applied them in a different way according to their personal journey. And so I want to just announce this to you. You can't just read a book and see what someone did. I discourage that, because that's what creates legalism. The Lord will work a certain way in somebody's life, and they'll say, this is the way God does this. And instead of seeking the principle, they'll say, it was this method. And they try to push that method on everybody. And even though the principles are the same, the Lord wants to apply them in a personal way. I could go into more of that, but I got more to share today. So he applies them in personal ways to you, to your situation. And this is why hearing God is so important. Because you need to hear from him how he wants to apply this to your life. And application is important. We're going to get into that today. Okay, application is important. Let me talk to you a little bit about Judges 6. I did a series on this back last year, summer before. And so this may be a little bit of a rerun, but I got some different things in here to apply to this. Okay, that's what's neat about the Word of God. It's alive, and the Holy Spirit can apply His Word to your situation and to your season. Okay, I know that we're in different seasons, but the Word of God will apply. Holy Spirit's good about applying His Word to your season. Okay, and so this is talking about Gideon. We're going to be looking at Gideon, the children of Israel, in Judges 6. And Midian, for 7 years, I don't know how long your season of a mountain in your life, or a season of desert in your life, or a pit in your life, you know, there's different names for it. But whatever it is, sometimes a season in bondage or a season under attack, it always seems like it goes way too long. Am I right? And so this had been 7 years that the Midianites would come and just harass and destroy and just mess with the children of Israel in every way. They were hiding in caves, and they would go plant and sow seed, and the Midianites would show up by harvest time. You know how that works, don't you? Ever feel like that, you know, you're saving money for a certain thing and you got a certain goal, and right before that goal arrives there, something else happens and steals the money? Like you got a purse with holes in it. Excuse me, guys, like you got a wallet with holes in it. But, you know, look, okay, the enemy's like that, and he doesn't fight fair. And so, you know, they would come and harass the children of Israel and steal everything they got, steal their harvest, destroy their land, and just abuse them and misuse them. Everybody ever felt like you've been rushed, mushed, crushed, and flushed? That's what the enemy will do. So the answer is this, though. This happens. Here's part of the principle. Cry out to the Lord. Call upon His name. Because when Israel cried to the Lord, when they called upon His name, a prophet showed up, and that's what he does. He shows up with His Word. And so the words of God came forth. And basically the prophet was saying this: I've delivered you in the past. I'm your deliverer right now. What I've done in the past, I can do again. Keep in mind, it might not be in the same way, but it's the same principle. Because, and this is what the Lord says, oppression is not my will. And so don't say God's doing it to you. Because that's what religion says, that's what sometimes church people say, sometimes that's what people say, that's what the Israelites were saying, God is punishing us. Oppression's not His ideal, it's not His will. And as a matter of fact, God introduces Himself as, I'm your victory. You've not come to me, all right, you've run from me and you've worshipped other gods, you've feared other gods. And so this is out of Judges chapter 6. And I want to tell you, so, you know, did we see that? Isn't it amazing? I mean, we could kind of line up our testimony like a graph like a map, and we'd say, you know, those times that I was seeking the Lord prospered me. That's Bible. Those times that my heart was after God, I could hear Him, I could see Him, I could witness, and I seemed so blessed. I had a man stop me the other day that had used to be a part of our ministry and gotten away from the Lord. And he told me, he said, look, I'm not into anything evil. He said, I just got to tell you, the most happiest, joyful, peaceful times of my life was when we were under your ministry and we were walking after the Lord. I said, well, the key is walking after the Lord. Because when you're walking, well, you know what he wants? He wants to walk. When you're walking after the Lord, you're receiving. When you're walking away from him, you're rejecting. And so this is what God exposed to the children of Israel. And he invites them. He says, come to me and receive. And so shortly after that, Jesus shows up, which he does. He shows up to Gideon. Judges 6, verse 11. The angel of the Lord. Somebody say Jesus. Because that's Jesus. I want to tell you, Jesus shows up in the Old Testament. He manifests himself in the Old Testament. This is one of the descriptions of this is the angel of the Lord. Isn't that interesting? Jesus wants to show up in your life. He loves to. The angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Oprah. This is before she had a TV show. Okay. She had a tree first. No, I'm just being silly. I'm trying to get you on board. And this belonged to Joash and Abiezer and, you know, I don't know why they didn't name Frank and, you know, but anyway. But Gideon was the son, and he was threshing wheat at the bottom of a wine press to hide the grain from the Midianites. Why? Because the Midianites would come and steal whatever they got. Now, here's an interesting word. You know, Midian means strife. Midian means strife. And so, whatever area of your life that there's strife in, there's an answer here. Because Jesus is victorious over strife, and he wants to show us how to walk in victory over strife. Strife in your life, I could just say it like this. Stress brings on disease. It will affect you physically. First affect you emotionally and disturb you, harass you. All right, I got to pray with someone this week that was being attacked with all kind of anxiety and stuff and disturbance. And, you know, but I want to tell you, we saw Jesus set him free. Because that's what the Lord paid for on the cross, was for your freedom. And he loves to apply it to you. And he wants you to receive it. And so Gideon was hiding, and Jesus came and appeared to Gideon, and he spoke to him. The angel of the Lord, verse 12, appeared to him and said, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of courage. You mighty hero, the Lord is with you. And, you know, so let me just first say, because it goes along with this series, he was hearing the words of Jesus. Now, he didn't quite understand them at the point, and at this point, he didn't even believe them. Because he was saying, wrong address, you must not be talking to me. There are no victory here. There are no hero or shero in the building here. And as a matter of fact, there's no courage here and there's no strength here. And he replies to the Lord. And this is very religious. This is what people are saying today. If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why would God allow this to happen? Well, God's already spoken through the prophet and told him why. It wasn't because of me, it's because of you. You turned from me. You went after other gods. You let other things fulfill your life. Other things become the center of your life. You began to enjoy other things beside me. I want to be first. I want to be the center. Somebody say amen. Amen. And where are all the miracles that our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. And so this is what people are saying today. I don't know why God does it for some people and he won't do it for me. I don't know why that I knew that the Lord touched my life and did things in my life at an early age, and now it seemed like he's a million miles away. Well, I want to tell you how Jesus answered all these theological questions, all these circumstantial situations and questions. What he does is ignore them. That's the point to us. Because sometimes I have people come to me and they want to talk about Bigfoot and they want to talk about UFOs and they want to talk about all the mysteries of the earth and say, now, you know, if God was, and I say, I want to tell you what all that's about. That's somebody reaching out to grab something else so that they don't have to repent of their sin. Because if they believe that God's not really who he is, they can live the way they want to. And so I point them right back to Jesus. And that's what Jesus does with Gideon. Maybe that's what we ought to do. Don't get entangled with all the far out questions. Just talk about Jesus. Who he is, what he says, what he does. This is what Jesus does. He says and speaks to him a personal word. See, this is where revelation becomes a redemptive, and it becomes releasing. You cannot argue people into changing their heart. I like to say this. I don't like it, but I have to say this. Politics is not the greatest strength of the church. We got to be involved. We got to stand up. We got to speak up. We need to vote up, but then you need to shut up. Because I want to tell you, you don't argue people into change. When you begin to argue and defend and all this, you just seal where they are. And there's a division. I'm not teaching you anything. We see it all over the place. But I'll tell you what changes their heart is the Word of God. What changes their heart, okay, is Jesus, the Word. And when there's a heart change, get me? When there's a heart change, there's a mind change. Okay, when there's a heart change, there's a life change. And so our greatest strength, even though we need to speak up, stand up, vote up, and then we need to shut up and just talk about Jesus. But I want to tell you, even though that's not our greatest strength, the greatest strength of the church is to live the Jesus life and speak the words of Jesus. That's where hearts are changed. That's how people are changed. It's all right if you don't agree with it. Keep listening. There may be something you agree with in just a little bit. So the Lord tells him. The Lord turned to him and said, go with your strength, with the strength you have, and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. I am with you. And so you've already heard me say this if you heard that other series, but I probably say this a little different than other people. Doesn't mean that I'm the only one right and they're all wrong. I don't go there. I'm just saying it's a little personal here. Is that the Lord wasn't saying, go with all the strength that you got. Man, you a strong guy, man. Just take all the strength you have. No, no, he was a weak man. He was a fearless man, okay? But I want to tell you, the Lord is strength, and the Lord is courage. And so what he's actually saying to Gideon, and this is my personal thought on this, is that, you know what? Go in the weakness you have. Go in the lack of strength that you have. Go in your strength. Oh, I don't have any. Well, go. Don't let weakness keep you from saying yes to Jesus. He's not offended by your weakness. As a matter of fact, it's through our weakness that he loves to show himself strong. New Testament talks about it. Okay? There's not many that he chose that are strong, intellectual, well off. As a matter of fact, it says that many he chose that are weak, who are simple. Because the Lord chooses the weak to confound the wise. The Lord loves to choose the weak to show his strength and to show that it's him. And so I want to tell you, there's hope for all of us. Look to someone next to you and say, there's hope for you. But we cannot rely on our strength. As a matter of fact, I'm going to show you in just a little bit, is that we got to take our strengths and our weaknesses and submit them to God. But Lord, how can I? How can I? Somebody say, how can I? Well, you can't by yourself. Okay, that's the whole key. How can I rescue Israel? How can I get out of the pit that I'm in? How can I overcome the mountain that's in my path? Right? Are you listening? Okay. And he says, my clan is the weakest in the whole tribe of Manasseh, and I'm the least in my entire family. So what he's saying is that I'm not just the bottom of the barrel. Hey, listen. Every tribe had clans, and every clan had families. And so I want to tell you, he said, not only am I of the weakest tribe, but I'm of the weakest clan. Not only am I the weakest clan, but I'm in the weakest family. And not only am I in the weakest family, I'm the bottom, I'm the weakest of all of them. And so he's saying, I'm not just the bottom of the barrel, I'm below the barrel, I'm buried underneath it. Anybody ever been there? Okay, does that hinder the Lord? No, it does not. I'm saying this to you. Your failure, your past, your situation, it does not hinder God. When we submit and surrender our weaknesses, our lack, our failures unto the Lord, He can take them and use them for His honor and glory. He can take our mess and turn it into His message. Amen. The Lord's not hindered by your weakness. He's hindered by unbelief. Lord Jesus. But Lord, how can I? In my weakness. Maybe your weakness, because you see, there's a direct parallel from weakness to sickness. As a matter of fact, you can look at the word, and when you see the word strength, you can put the word health in there. Yeah. And so I want to tell you, weakness brings sickness. Well, I can go to Isaiah 53, but I don't have time. I'll do that another time. But I want to tell you, there's a parallel there. There's a picture there. And so whatever your weakness is, if it's physical, emotional, spiritual, past failure, whatever it is, this fits for you. The Lord said to him, here's the key to our answer. He says, I will be with you. That's the answer to our victory. That makes a testimony. We go from our test to His treasure, to His truth. And that makes a testimony. All right. The Lord said to him, I will be with you, and you will destroy the Midianites as if you were fighting against one man. Now, what? You say, that's a strange thing there. And no, he says, I'm with you, and the victory is yours. Now, I'm going to say this. Your victory matters. I had to tell someone this week that I was meeting with that, you know what? How you respond to this thing will make a difference in your kids' lives, in the lives of their kids, and in the lives of people that you know, and people that you don't even think you know. Because when we have a responsibility to walk in His victory and to receive it, and when we do, listen to this, we make signposts along our journey that we leave behind. All of those following me, this is the way to victory. If the Lord can do it for me, He can do it for you. The Holy Spirit loves to say that. And so I'm telling you, it's very, very important. Get this revelation, because your victory in your life will promote them to victory in their life. They'll say, I remember Daddy. I remember Mama. I remember Granddaddy, Grandmama. And I want to tell you, I saw them walk in victory. If God can do it for them, He can do it for me. Gideon replied, if you're truly going to help me, show me a sign to prove that it's really the Lord speaking to me. In other words, I just got to say it to you, because we say it all the time around here. You got favor from God. And you may be questioning in your own mind, if I have favor, why is this happening? Or why isn't this happening? If I got favor for God, why am I in the situation I'm in? But I want to tell you something that's happening with Gideon that has to apply with the ways of God. He continued to have interaction with Jesus. He could have shut it all down and walked out, but he continued to interact. When you continue to interact with Jesus, you get continued revelation, because He wants to show you who He is. Do you really know God? I know it's so possible. Prayed with someone this week that knew about Him but didn't know Him. And I want to tell you, when they prayed to get to know Him, there was an immediate difference. I'm not shocked by that, are you? But there's a real question, do you really know Him? He loves to continue interaction with you. He loves interaction. It's not interaction to do a drive-by and throw a whole list of your shop list out to God. Oh, by the way, Lord, you know, just list them all. This, and this. Amen. I'm on the way. I'm gone. No, it's not a drive-by. You know what He wants? He wants you to come sit down with Him. He wants you to interact. See, He loves interaction with you. How long has it been since you've had time with just you and the Lord, heart to heart? That's what He loves. And I want to tell you, when you practice that, you're going to get to know Him better. All right? If I were to tell you that I'm in love with this beautiful blonde, but I never have time for her, you would call me a liar. You tell me that you love God, do you have time with Him? See, one of the descriptions of love is enjoyment. I enjoy this woman. I enjoy the Lord. I love spending time. Do you love spending time with the Lord? How long has it been since you've had time to enjoy the Lord? That's how you get to know Him. He wants to interact with you because it brings a continual revelation of Him. Ask. Ask, seek, knock. All right? So, now I'm just going to mention this because time's going so fast when we have fun. But I'm just telling you in verse 21, 22, 23, there was an encounter with the Lord. And in verse 21, He disappeared. And so I want to tell you, but He still speaks to him. That's real clear in the next verse. And I want to tell you what the Lord is showing us there is that whether you can feel Him or whether you can see Him or whether there's an amazing manifestation or not, He can still speak to you. And He wants to speak to you. It's not based on what you see or what you feel. It's based on what He's saying and our heart being open to hear Him. Now, in 19, 20 through 21, there's an encounter with Jesus. And this is what I want to say about the encounter with Jesus. He wants you to encounter Him. Thank God you have a quiet time. Thank God you have a verse of the day. Thank God you read some verses. But I want to tell you, there's a big difference between getting a little email report on my life and meeting with me. You see, you can get a little email report every day and say, well, I know Him. But I want to tell you, you can know about me and not know me. But when you sit down with me on a regular basis, you can know me. And you can go and say, I know Him. It's the same with the Lord. This is what He wants. He wants an encounter. And Gideon had an encounter with God. And he told the Lord, I want to worship You. And see, this is what happens when you get to know the Lord. You want to worship Him. You want to adore Him. You want to love Him back because you see who He is and what He says and what He does. And, you know, there was an encounter here, and the Lord told him how to. See, the Lord will show you how to love on Him. We've got the Holy Spirit. He's a life coach. Will show you how to love Him back. Don't you want that? A double dog dare you to ask Him, show me how to love you back. And He'll show you personal ways on how to love Jesus back. How to receive His love. And so he went and made a meal for the Lord. He brought meat. He brought unleavened bread. And there was gravy. Now, boy, I kind of was studying this because I was eating Mother Mary's gravy last night. And I want to tell you, this is just me talking, okay? It's just kind of personal for meditating on it. There's probably a lot of people don't agree. Just listen. You don't have to agree. Just listen. The meat was from a kid, not a person, a goat. And he was giving Jesus his best. He's worthy of your best. The unleavened bread was his less. Okay? And I want to tell you, you need to give Jesus your best, surrender it, and you need to give Him your weakest, your less. He needs to have the best and the less. And so unleavened bread and meat. And then there was gravy. And the Lord gave him instruction. Set it on the rock. And I want to tell you, you got to give it to the rock. Jesus is your rock. You got to surrender it all. I'm talking about the little things, maybe that people make fun of, that you don't even like about yourself. Yield them to Jesus. The strengths that you have, they got to be yielded to the Lord. Because if you hold on to your strengths, it's those very strengths that can keep the Lord from working in your life. They got to be surrendered to the rock. Put on the rock. And so put it all on the rock. Your weaknesses and your strengths, put them on the rock. And then there was the gravy, and he told him, just pour the gravy over all of it. And I want to tell you what the gravy can represent. It can represent all your questions, all your misses, all your failures, all the stuff that you just put in there together, and you just pour it all over it. Now, Mother Mary's gravy is just absolutely amazing. It was on some taters last night, and man, that's just delicious. Put it on a little chicken fried steak. That was great. But I want to tell you, I'll just be honest with you, she's got that gourmet touch in her hands. And I want to tell you, you could pour that gravy on my tennis shoe, and it still tastes good. But I want to tell you, it's important to pour it all on the Lord. And you know what Jesus did? He took a rod. He took the rod that was with him, and he reached out, and he touched it. And when he touched it, it burst forth in flame, and it burned up. You say, is that bad? No, that's good. Okay, it's a witness of the Old Testament that he received it. And I want to tell you, he will receive your worship. Best, less, all the questions, get it all out, lay it out before him. He will touch it and receive it to his honor and glory. I want to tell you, I love that about the Lord. And so right after that, Jesus disappeared. But at the same time, Gideon got revelation that this just wasn't a visitor, that this really was God, that this really was Jesus. This wasn't just an angel, it was Jesus. And he got scared, and he cried out, and he said, I'm going to die because I've seen Jesus face to face, and I'm going to die. Now, why would he say something like that? Because that's what his religion taught him, and it was wrong. Now, I know where he probably got it from, but it was wrong. It was wrong application in wrong season. And so I want to tell you the real thing. You say, well, you can go too far with this Jesus thing. No, you can't, because he wants you to see him and behold him. He wants you to see his face. He wants you to know his heart. And I want to tell you, he got revelation that this was Jesus, and he got scared that he was going to die. And so the Lord had to speak to him and let him know, peace. You see verse 22? When Gideon realized it was the angel of the Lord, he cried out, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I'm doomed. I've seen the angel of the Lord face to face." Now see, that whole thought system was a religious box that had to be unbroken. Boxes have to be torn down. They have to be broken. They have to be yielded to God. Because I want to tell you something. A religious box, you can put God in it and hinder God. I'm telling you, Jesus said to the religious people of the day, he said, it's your traditions that weaken the Word of God. Now, all traditions aren't bad. If you have a tradition that encourages your heart in the Lord and causes you to seek the Lord face to face and to walk after God, praise God. But if it's a tradition that keeps you distant from God, it's a box that needs to be broken down. Okay. So here goes Gideon. The Lord comes back to him and says, peace be unto you. It's all right. Peace. I'm telling you, peace is so important. And he wants to minister peace to your soul. Even if your soul, your heart's troubled and disturbed by some kind of religious box of the past, the Lord will speak truth to you and he will give you peace. And so whatever's disturbing your heart is illegal, because he wants to minister peace to you. And so all this is coming from interaction, all right? So greater revelation. So what was Gideon doing? He was meditating on the Lord. He was receiving the words of Jesus. He was meditating and receiving the works of Jesus. Does this sound familiar in this series? It ought to. And because all of us are on a journey of discovery to get to know him better and better and better. Oh, man. I believe heaven wants to say this so clear. What Jesus wants is a walk. He wants interaction. He wants fellowship. He wants you to get to know him deeper, as Paul said, deeper and deeper and deeper. And when you get to know him deeper and deeper, you get to love him deeper and deeper. That brings forth a lot of confidence. That has a lot to do with faith, because even faith operates out of his love. Anybody with me on that? Peace to you. Don't fear. Don't be afraid. Peace to you. Now, fear is not from God. See, Gideon built an altar, and this was a remembrance to the Lord. We ought to have things we remember. Bible's real clear. You forget the past, that's bad. You forget it. It's under the blood. It's thrown into the depths of the sea. God remembers it no more. You've heard me say it. I'm going to say it again. What God's put under the blood and what God remembers no more, no man has a right to bring up. You sure don't have the right to bring it up and beat yourself up. Don't do you're doing the enemy's job for him. Come on. See, any of that mess is illegal. But I want to tell you, there are some things we are to remember from the past, and it's what God has done. And this is why Gideon set up his altar, and they would do that back then. They would set up these altars of remembrance so that they could remember and remind themselves. See, this is part of the journey in the Christian life. Why we got to continue to renew our mind with the Word of God, and it's a lifetime journey of reminding ourselves who we are in Christ, what Christ has done, His heartbeat for us, and to be interactive with Him. Let's be honest. You can have information, Bible information, and be packed full of it and be cold. And those are usually mean too. But I want to tell you something. You can have your heart full of Jesus, and the truth becomes alive. And He shows you not just how to see it, but how to apply it. And this is part of knowing the ways of God. It's simple, but it's true. And you can't bypass intimacy with God. You can't bypass it. Okay, so he built an altar. And the name means the Lord is peace. The Lord is peace. And it remained. And I want to tell you, it's often. I had a woman in the past. I'm not going to try to relate the timetable. You'll try to figure out who it is. Don't do that. But this woman came and she said she was frantic. God gave me a dream, and I'm so scared. Well, immediately I thought, nah, I doubt it. I said, well, tell me the dream. And she told me the dream, and it was a scary dream. I'm telling you, scary. And it had to do with people that she loved that was being hurt and wounded and destroyed and in a wreck and all kind of bad stuff, people dying, you know, and all this. And I told her, I said, that's not the Lord. And so this is something we need to renounce and to reject and to take authority over. And what we do on the positive side is that we renounce that, but we pray for the Lord's protection over your family. Do you see that? And I just had to tell her, you know, the fruit of this dream is fear. The Bible says that Jesus doesn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a peaceful mind. Peace is a key. And so I want to tell you, just recently, and this has happened over and over again, I'm not picking on anybody, but somebody will tell me, you know, I got so scared about my family member often traveling and doing this because I could just see them in a wreck. I could see them in bad shape, and they were hurting. Look, that's not from God. When something like that comes, you got to recognize it. That's fear. Fear's not from God. Peace is from God. So you take authority over that, you renounce that, and you ask the Lord for His peace, and He comes and comforts you and ministers His peace to you. And I want to tell you, from peace, you pray. Lord, I speak in the name of Jesus, and I call out and decree divine protection over my family. And then you give thanks for it. You got to change channels on that. Somebody say amen. You ask the Holy Spirit to give you a victory picture. Because that's part of the way He operates. He wants to give in the big screen of your heart a victory picture of what He wants to do. And so here it is. Gideon's experiencing praise and worship, and he's declaring, the Lord is my peace. Now, we've already seen this with the principles of the way God operates from other stories in the Bible. And it goes like this. You hear Jesus. You hear His word. You keep on hearing. Keep on interacting. Keep on embracing Him. And then you meditate on His words and His works. Gideon was doing this with the offering. And, you know, there's acceptance. Gideon got great acceptance when Jesus touched that offering and it exploded in fire. It was great acceptance to him. And it built hope up in him. And so remember that encounters with Jesus will reveal His words and His works. And His words and works are what you meditate on in your heart because the Holy Spirit reveals who He is. And the same Jesus of who He is with Gideon is the same Jesus of who He is to you. And so, there's different seasons. The next season in Gideon's life was the Lord wanted to minister peace and victory to His household. Now, I know a lot of times, and I get this, all right, I've got someone down south that contacted me not too long ago, and they're ready for a nationwide ministry. I said, okay, that's great. You know, that's a good desire, is to have a national ministry or worldwide ministry. God's not against that. I said, but where are you ministering now? Well, I'm really not. You know, I'm doing a few little things, and I want to, but no, that's not really how the Lord works on that. It's good to have that vision, but I want to tell you, right now, you start ministering where you are. What family are you connected to or close to? And they told me, I said, go minister to your family. Go love on them with the love of Jesus. Love on them with the word. And let the Lord raise you up. Okay, so go home and minister Jesus there. And that's what the Lord gave him instruction to do, because there was an altar of Baal in his family's household. Right there on the property, there was an altar of Baal. And so I'm just announcing to you that he wants to work in your life through his ways for victory here first. Victory first here. Victory first in your family. Now, Brother Tim, you talking about perfection? No, 1,000 times no. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. Your heart after the Lord. And he will. He loves families. He loves you. He will minister victory to your family. And you know what? But even at the different levels of seasons, you've got to apply it. And this is number three. You know, you hear Jesus, focus on his hearing, and meditate on it. Meditate, number two, meditate on his words and works. And you begin to speak it, mutter it, meditate on the inside. And then you begin to speak it on the outside. You got to, number three, apply it. You got to flip the switch. Anybody? Well, glory to God. I forgot there was an opening there. Oh, come on. You got to flip the switch. That's faith part. Flip the switch. God's designed you to flip the switch. You have a part. Hey, he's the miraculous God. He's the all-possible God. Our part's to agree. And so we start agreeing on the inside, hearing, meditating, muttering it, to saying it on the inside. Then we start speaking it on the outside. We start applying it, and the Holy Spirit shows us how to do that. And so this is what happened. Look at the answer here. Judges 6:34. The Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon with power. It was the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord took possession of him. It became not my lack of strength, not my weakness, not my failure as a family or being the bottom of the bottom. It's not my doubts and speculation and unbelief. It became a connection to Jesus. And when he centered in on Jesus and he began to practice the ways of God, the Spirit of God took possession of him. You see, there's a difference between Jesus being a resident. Oh, somebody need to hear this, please. There's a difference between Jesus being a resident and Jesus being the president. You may be a confessor of Jesus. Are you a possessor? Does he possess you? Amen. Spirit of the Lord took possession. You say, well, Brother Tim, what about all the fleeces and all that? I'm just going to tell you real quick, because time's running fast, is that it goes like this. Sometimes our journey of faith is messy. It's messy. It's not always a straight path from here to there. Sometimes it's got switchbacks in it. Sometimes it looks more like a roller coaster. But I want to tell you, it's not perfection, it's direction. You may get all turned around and everything, but I want to tell you, when your heart stays after God, he has a way of the great shepherd pulling you back into his path to follow his steps. And he makes it clear, and he does that. Now, you know what? I want to tell you something about Gideon that I like. He was seeking God. He was interacting with Jesus. He wanted confirmation. Now, there's a big difference, and I got to make this clear. There's a big difference between questioning God and asking God for direction. Okay, big difference. Zechariah, for example, New Testament, Zechariah was married to Elizabeth, and they needed a miracle because they were of older age and didn't have a baby. And I want to tell you, the angel Gabriel himself, you know, come from the very presence of God, the angel Gabriel went to Zechariah while he was in, I'm telling you, the Holy of Holies, and spoke to him and said, you're going to have a baby. His name's going to be John. And he's going to prepare the way for the Lord, for Jesus. And I want to tell you, the tough thing here is that Zechariah, he questioned God. He wasn't asking for direction. He questioned if it was possible. You see, there's a big difference between what's happening in your heart. That's what God's looking at. And I want to tell you, because he was questioning God, doubting, speculation, unbelief toward what God wanted to do, the angel Gabriel said that you won't speak till he's born. Do you see? Now, wait a minute. The same angel came with a similar message to little Mary, a little teenage girl, and said, you're going to have a miracle, baby. This one's going to be of God, and it's going to be Jesus the Messiah. And she asked some questions. So what's the difference? Her heart was toward God, because she said, may it be with me, your handmaiden. Whatever you want, I want. I don't understand it. It seems impossible, but I say yes. Do you see the difference? And so God is not threatened by you wanting confirmation. God's not threatened by you asking questions. Because the motive of your heart is to be this. Listen. This was Gideon. I don't know if you've seen this, but see it. Lord, I don't want to miss. I don't want to miss. Now, I want to tell you, if that's your heartbeat, the Lord loves to confirm. He proved it with Gideon. Wet, dry, here, there. As a matter of fact, even before the great event, the Lord encouraged. You see, the Lord loves to encourage. He doesn't leave you out there on your own. He's with you. Remember what the victory statement is? The Lord is with you. And he knows how to comfort you. He knows how to encourage you. He knows how to take the religious boxes and break them down. He knows how to show himself mighty in your behalf to encourage you in your victory over strife. So, man, what happens is he tells him, he says, get up. Let's go down to the enemy's camp. Now, that doesn't sound like victory, does it? Okay, and I want to tell you, the Midianites were thousands and thousands. They said, you can't even count them. And I want to tell you, he goes down at night, and he goes out, and he hears a couple of the sentries talking, a couple of the warriors talking. And one guy says, hey, man, I had a dream last night. It really disturbed me. Another guy said, well, tell me the dream. And he says, this barley loaf, man, come rolling down the hill and destroyed us, our tents and everything. And the other guy said, that barley loaf is Gideon. Now, the barley loaf was the plain Jane bread. As a matter of fact, the poverty folk ate barley. The more wealthy folk ate the more refined. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's kind of funny to say, but the barley loaf is actually healthier. Okay. But here he goes. But the barley loaf is Gideon. And so I want to tell you, even from someone else's, even an unbeliever's dream,
there you go.
God encouraged his man. That victory is on the way. He's already there, God, isn't he? Victory's on the way because of who he is. Not because of who we are. We're just barley loaf. But I want to tell you, when that barley loaf says yes to the Holy Ghost, he become a holy roller. I'm trying to be cute, but there's truth in it. You see, when we submit to God, he takes possession of us. And he orders the victory. And so what ends up happening here, and man, this is just so exciting, but he had to apply it. And the applying of the word is the outside speaking and outside actions. It always comes to action. If your faith doesn't end up in action, and I'm going to deal with this next time, but if your faith doesn't end up in action, it's like a dead body without breath. A body without breath is dead. I don't care what you call it. I don't care how you dress it up. I don't care how you talk about how great it was. If a body is not breathing, it's dead. Even the poverty dead is dead. The rich dead is dead. I'm telling you, if you don't have action, if your faith doesn't end up in action, it's dead. Let me say it to you Bible way. It's not complete. Because faith completed always ends up in action. A-C-T-I-O-N. That's Jesus. He's all about the action. All right? But he's not going to do it without you. That's why this step of knowing the ways of God is so important. He's not going to do it to you. He wants to do it with you. He wants your cooperation. What would you say? I got to say it again. He wants your cooperation. He wants your consent. He wants your yes on the inside. He wants your yes on the outside. You got to speak it out. Gideon got the opportunity to do that. And he wants your outside action before it happens. I know the world loves to celebrate victory after it's over. That's not a believer. That's not a believer believing. Because I want to tell you, a believer believing, we hear the word of God, we begin to celebrate things. We pray and give thanks right after we ask. Why? Because we're believing. Okay, we don't wait till the manifestation of victory. I want to tell you, this is faith in action. And so let me finish this part, and we'll stop here and pick up next week, hopefully. Judges 7:20. Then all three groups, see, I want to tell you, he had 32,000 at first. And you know what God said? I don't want 32,000, even though they're way outnumbered. There's thousands and thousands more than you, and you're way outnumbered. I don't want 32,000 to get to honor and glory. I want to show myself mighty. And so, send home 22,000. And then there was 10,000 against thousands and thousands, hundreds of thousands. And God said, too many. Because the tendency of man is to trust in man. I was at a church, it was a big, beautiful church, and it was part of their dedication, and it was amazing, beautiful facility. And I'll never forget, before I got up to preach, the pastor got up and said, look what we've done! And man, I was sitting there and I began to shake, man, because I thought, no, that's wrong emphasis. You are not where you are because of you. We are where we are because of the Lord. And if we miss that point, we miss. I don't care how it shines or how it looks or how many people clap. Matter of fact, I got a report now that that church doesn't even exist anymore. Now wait, I'm just telling you, it's an important part of knowing the ways of God is that he wants to get the honor and glory. Why? Because 10,000 went down to 300. I know you probably saw a movie about the 300. This is the original 300. But I want to tell you something. Why 300 against hundreds of thousands? Well, I want to tell you something, because God wants you to depend on him. I know people that say, well, I believe in that giving stuff, and I know the Lord blesses, but I want to tell you one thing. I got my retirement, bless God. No matter what happens, I got my retirement. Do you really? Do you really? Because I want to tell you, if you're relying on your retirement fund, okay, and you're not relying on him, you miss. And I want to tell you something, it don't count. All right, I want to tell you, no matter how much money you have, you need to put yourself in a position where you depend on God. And I want to tell you, that's what humility is. That's what God was looking for. Those 300 standing before hundreds of thousands. And I want to tell you what they had. They had in one hand, they had a jar with fire in it. And the other hand, they had a trumpet. And I want to tell you, there wasn't a hand to hold a sword. They didn't have one. You know what they had? The sword of the Lord. The sword of the Lord is the word of God. The word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And you know what they did? They declared, they shouted the voice of victory, what Jesus said to shout. They shouted the voice of victory. And I want to tell you, God did an amazing miracle. Now, I want to tell you, it's important that the clay was broken. Because I want to tell you, it's through the brokenness of this clay that his light shines. They're not impressed with your clay. I don't care how purdy it is. My granddaughter's all correct. I mean, it ain't purdy, Papa T, it's pretty. No, I want to tell you, purdy. It don't matter how purdy your clay is. It may look better than somebody else's clay, but I want to tell you, it's clay. But I want to tell you, when that clay is broken and the light of Jesus is revealed, I want to tell you, that's when the supernatural happens. When you blow the trumpet of victory and shout what Jesus told you to shout. And boy, we're going to get into this next week. I'm going to show you what to shout. And you shout the voice of victory. I want to tell you, the enemy is defeated. Without your physical sword, I want to tell you, he's given us weapons that are mighty, not human, not carnal, weapons that are mighty for the pulling down of strongholds. Let's give God praise for victory. Amen. That's as far as I can go. All right. Man, oh, there's so much more. I'm excited about sharing with you next week. Be back, same channel, same time. Same Christ victory. Okay. Thank you that you want us to know your ways. Thank you that we can turn our heart to you and focus on you. Thank you that you've provided for us to have open fellowship with you. Thank you that the veil is torn and you paid the price for us to have open, continual, love life fellowship with you. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that you plant on our big screen hope in our heart what you want to do. Thank you, Lord, that we get to meditate on who you are, your words and your works. And Lord, you turn our hope to faith where we can speak it out loud and we can act on it. Because, Lord, you've shown us that when we take that first step, you're on it. Yeah. When the jar of clay is broken and we put the Jesus light forth, you get honor and glory. When we blow the trumpet of Zion, the trumpet of victory, you get honor and glory. When we shout the word of God, great grace, you receive honor and glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that the victory you did with Gideon and his 300 for a whole nation. Lord, you've won victory for us. Holy Spirit, come. We just release the hope of the Lord to rise up in the hearts of your people, that we can practice and get to know your ways, and that you'll show us the how-to. We seek you, Lord. And all the people said, amen and amen. I love you. God bless you. I'm looking forward to seeing you next time around. Amen.